You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Live from the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C., you're listening to The Tidbit, brought to you by Curate. I'm your host and the CEO of Curate, Kim Bryden. Do you run a small business or have dreams to start one? Well, here at The Tidbit, we've got your back. Each week, we talk through tidbits of knowledge around starting or running a small business with a food and beverage lens. And did you know that this show is based off of our bi-weekly newsletter that we send out at Curate? It's called The Tidbit, of course. And in it, we discuss what we're reading, eating, drinking, listening to, and learning. Five quick morsels of information to get you in the know and on top of your game. So if you're interested, head over to curate.co, C-U-R-E-A-T-E.co, to sign up. And we are back. This is our third season here at the Line Hotel. So welcome, listener. If you're new to The Tidbit, here's a little digest. At the top of the show, we share one tidbit of what we're reading or learning, and then dive deeper into that tidbit of knowledge with our guest. And since we're in this transition mode from summer to fall, I wanted to share a bit of reflection as to what the summer season means to me and what this particular part of the year represents. So summer, for me, it's actually not a time of relaxation. Instead, I view the summer as my time to explore, create, and build foundations for the rest of the year to come. And maybe, listener, this isn't something so different for you either. Summer is not always a slow time, especially in the food and beverage industry, with all of the farmers markets, weddings, etc. And moreover, the fall season that's to come, I mean, holiday season, hello, it can be a time of chaos. And so in my summers, I try to do a lot of foundation planning, coupled with exercises in creativity and exploration so that I can feel prepared for the fall rush. Also in the summer, I eat a lot of ice cream, and don't worry, that will make sense in a minute. But today on The Tidbit, we are going to discuss one huge marketing trend that has been creating a lot of buzz around and for food. And how can you use this trend in your foundation planning for the crazy fall rush holiday season ahead? So let's talk food and experience design. Have you heard of the Museum of Ice Cream? This experience has popped up in Los Angeles, New York, Miami, and San Francisco. And in addition, the Museum of Ice Cream team recently struck a deal with Target to provide a line of clothing and accessories in addition to ice cream nearly nationwide. How did this happen? Well, from Museum of Ice Cream's website, it reads, "Museum of Ice Cream is an experience-first brand fueled by the power of imagination. From installations that ignite all five senses to products made to inspire, we lead with the honest belief that anything is possible." That is quite a powerful statement, and I'd like to unpack this point a bit more. I mean, food is a multisensory experience, but it's typically served in a semi-standard setting or a setting that one is used to experiencing food. So what if you took apart each piece of that sensory experience and created new ways of consuming, a new way of looking at food or beverage by getting hyper-focused on one of your senses? Just think about it. And before introducing our guest today, I want you to listen to our conversation and think in the back of your mind, how can I be intentional and thoughtful in the ways in which I'm creating my brand's food or beverage experience? And are there ways we can focus on an aspect of our product to create a memory beyond just taste, convenience, or price point? Like I said, I mean, holiday season is right around the corner. It's the exact time when people have disposable income to spend or try to have disposable income to spend, and they're seeking experiential gifts, They want to have this moment that they can share with somebody else. So keep that in the back of your mind as we have this conversation today. So I am thrilled to welcome Kelly Bryden, experienced designer, ice cream lover, dancing queen, and the recent art director for Rose Mansion in New York City and the upcoming Museum of Pizza. Most importantly, she is my little sister. So we are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Kelly. You're listening to The Tidbit, and we're here with Kelly Bryden, experienced designer and recent art director for Rose Mansion and the upcoming Museum of Pizza. Hey, Kelly.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my gosh. The other thing I think about summer is that it's a time to spend with family. So I had the pleasure of joining you at Rose Mansion this summer, but I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let me get down to business. So at the top of the show, we discussed the Museum of Ice Cream and how their pop-ups actually led to this big deal with Target nationwide.
Yeah.
And you've worked on experience design now for, like I just mentioned, Rose, pizza, and people seem to be craving and clamoring over these pop-ups where you can not only eat and drink this product being featured, but it's also capturing that experience on Instagram. And
yeah.
And when I went with you to Rose Mansion, that really drew a huge crowd. I mean, maybe more than what I was even anticipating, not only to just drink rose, but to also get the perfect Instagram photo. So why do you think that there's such a boom in these Instagram-worthy food experiences?
Well, I kind of think there are two different reasons why people are so obsessed with these kind of new pop-ups. First of all, I think it's a new way that people are looking at these kind of classic foods. Mm-hmm. If you, like, talk about ice cream again, how you guys mentioned, like, you think about ice cream and you normally see it in a waist-high white freezer. Someone's, like, reaching over, scooping it into a styrofoam cup and handing it to you. Probably the room has some type of, like, you know, like LED lighting on top that's very dark, not very inviting.
Mm-hmm.
Or you think about the other way you experience ice cream in your own home, in your freezer, it's coming out of a cardboard container. These things are just kind of, you know, old. You know, people aren't really excited about that anymore. Museums are like a 5-cent wonderland. People are taking these kind of food themes and breaking them down into taste, smell, sight, different kinds of experiences that are really getting you all excited. The other reason I think people are super obsessed is because everyone just kind of wants to be a little kid again. It's a place that people are going with their friends, their family, their own kids, and you get to play model for a couple hours. Like, who doesn't want to be on America's Next Top Model? And these chances are people, they, you know, dress up in their best outfits, and there's different kinds of vignettes for you to just, like, sit around and, you know, give your best, like, model pose. And now that you're in this experience, you just kind of get to forget about your real life and all the other issues going on in the world for just, like, a couple hours. So I think that's kind of why people are really obsessed and, you know, flocking to these kinds of experiences.
I really love that. You know, just to put those into bullet points, I think one, exactly what you're saying, being able to experience food through all five senses and really honing into that more. And two, I love your point about escaping the real world for a moment. I think that a lot of people in the major cities we just mentioned, and then of course here in Washington, D.C., people are looking for that escape, escape from their normal day-to-day. And if you can walk into this sort of alternative universe, it really, I love that. It makes you feel like you can be a little kid again.
Yeah.
That's great. And I'm wondering, how do you create that alternative universe? I mean, in thinking through the full experience design, what are these main factors to consider? I mean, is there a narrative arc? Do you decide you know, how do you decide what goes into each room? Are there certain key elements that you know you have to have in order to make an experience sort of like, quote, Instagram worthy?
Yeah, those are great things. And really where you start is kind of just, you know, recognizing your five senses. So you want to make sure that you cover eyes, ears, taste, touch, smell, and, you know, that kind of gives you this kind of umbrella to start your Instagram-worthy experience. So this past summer, I worked on Rosé Mansion. And so the overarching umbrella of this was rosé. And kind of before breaking down the pieces into the senses, you kind of start breaking down the food itself. So taking rosé, you break that down, you think about, okay, you've got the vines, and you've got the vineyard, then you've got the grapes, then you've got the color of the grapes, and then the color of the wine. And you finish off with the aroma, the bubbles, and probably the history of rosé in general. So now that you kind of have these categories, you can kind of start using those categories and fitting them into the senses. So one of the examples was at the Rosé Mansion, there is a big grape cave. And so you kind of get to walk through, you can put it all over your, around your head, your body, you can pose with them, you can touch them. And so this is kind of a combination of using the grapes and the color of the grapes with all of the five senses. So really it's just about taking the categories and connecting them to really make a great experience. And what also helps is cute catchphrases. People love to stand underneath cute catchphrases and take their photo.
Cute catchphrases. You know, that makes me think of, there's a restaurant here in DC called Rose's Luxury. It's frequently on some of the top best restaurants lists, both in the city here, but also nationwide. And they have a neon sign that just says awesome. And it tends to be one of the biggest, you know, non-food related, but in a restaurant photos that people take. You're absolutely right. And there, you know, I think that's fascinating to consider how you might feel as a bubble inside of sparkling wine. You know, there are certain aspects of what you're doing with, again, sight, touch, taste, smell, feel, that make you reconsider and think about how you're consuming that particular food item. There's something else in Rosé Mansion I thought was really interesting around the history of rosé, and then how you turn that history of rosé into these other rooms for people to feel regal. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So as you go through the experience, one of the last pieces that you come across is the history. And the history kind of starts out in two different ways. You learn about the history of wine in general in the United States. But then there's a drunk history wall. And this wall is kind of a funny play on, I think it is a podcast or a TV show called Drunk History.
Yes.
And the history is like broken down, you know, kind of in like present day like terms and, you know, acronyms. And it's like very easy to digest and like witty. So it's not, you know, your normal like history museum kind of bubble against a photo.
You've really thought about kind of like the tone
conversation.
And
then after you get through the drunk history wall, you end up in front of this large oversized throne that sits probably about four people, and you get to play dress up again, where you can use any kind of like, we provide different kinds of tiaras and crowns, and it's just like your chance to be, you know, the regal princess or prince of this rosé mansion.
And all the while, each one of these different rooms, you're drinking a different rosé. And so you're not just having these experiences, whether it's dress up or pretending you're a sparkling wine bubble or smelling a scratch and sniff wall. You're not just doing those things, but you're also paired with a rosé throughout that entire time.
Yes.
And
that's,
oh, go ahead.
You have to try at least 8 to 10 different rosés throughout the whole experience. So you get to experience rosés from around the world as you travel through the museum.
Fascinating. And you've been to Museum of Ice Cream. Is there anything, I mean, you go to a lot of these pop-ups, whether it's food related or not, to glean inspiration and just see how other people are creating these everlasting, memorable experiences. But in relation to Museum of Ice Cream, is there something in that particular experience that stood out to you?
I think the piece that is most iconic is their sprinkle pool. It wasn't until I actually went in it myself that I realized how amazing it actually is. There's something that is so interesting about being in a pool of small sprinkles. Of course, they're plastic, but it's a feeling that I've never experienced before. And just kind of getting in and walking throughout, you know, it's not the same as a ball pit. It's not the same as, you know, walking through water. It's just like a very interesting texture that is completely like a joyful experience. And even throwing them up in the air is just something that I saw in photos, and I was just like, all right, enough of this. But actually, once you're in it, it's kind of just really...
You, like, can't help yourself.
Yeah, you can't.
That is amazing. And just to point that out again, creating these joyful experiences, I think people are craving more joy and lightness and fun in their lives. And... yeah, that, and it could be something as, maybe it's not that simple, but something as simple as a sprinkle ball pit in a way.
Yeah.
We are going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back with Kelly Bryden. You're listening to The Tidbit live at the Line Hotel. We're here with Kelly Bryden, experience designer and art director, most recently of Rose Mansion in New York City and the upcoming Museum of Pizza. Also, notably, my little sister. Kelly, thanks for being here.
Of course.
So in this second segment of the show, we like to focus on tips and resources for small business owners. And small business owners are always on a strict budget, which often puts us in the mindset of like, oh, if only I had more money, I'd be able to, you know, XYZ, do whatever. And I think you're in this unique position to sort of dispel this thought. You were the in-house DIY do-it-yourself art director for Brit & Company, a lifestyle media company, for many years. So let's take a budding restaurateur, for example. What are a few lower cost DIY projects one could do to really make a space pop?
Yeah. Low budget DIY is my favorite thing. And I would say the best tip I have is a can of paint, or maybe even two cans of paint. You can get a can of paint, you know, for $30 to $50, depending on the grade of paint, and paint can dramatically transform any space. You can use the paint to create a mural on the wall, kind of patterns, you can update your floors, you can update your furniture, tables, cabinets, and it's just definitely a fresh surprise that really just doesn't cost a lot. It can just change and like look dramatically different. You like can go even further. You can go into spray paint. The spray paints, I've just recently found one that works on upholstery, and I used it to update a rug recently. I created a stencil and used the spray paint to spray the stencil onto the rug, and it went from a drab, old kind of, you could tell that it's been walked on a lot, and the pattern just made it come alive. It looked like something brand new. It was completely unique, and it just like added the unique pop that the room needed. These things, you know, you don't have to really even be a super artist to do it, I promise. You can just, you know, use painter's tape, section off a wall, and create, you know, a color block corner. In, you know, maybe it could even not even be super intentional. Like, you know, don't ever overthink it. Just color will definitely bring that area just up a notch, and it's not expensive.
Hmm. And when you are doing any sort of mural work or paint work, do you use, you know, tape, a projector? Like, what are these other tools you might use besides just having the can of paint itself?
Yeah, the other, I love, you know, using tape to make a sharp line around something, or, you know, color block the bottom half of the room. But if you can go a little further, my other tip is I call project and paint. This is using a projector in your computer. You know, there's so many free fonts online, and it can kind of, you can use this to your advantage to create cool typography for your walls. I normally go on my computer, you know, this is a chance where you can type out one of those cute phrases and put it on a wall for an Instagram moment. Connect your projector, project it onto the wall, use a pencil to trace it, and then take the projector away and paint it on in. And it's a really easy way to get anything up. It's also a great alternative to a vinyl sticker. Vinyl stickers can kind of get expensive, and projecting paint is kind of an easy way around that. Just make sure, you know, you stay within the lines you drew, and you'll be golden.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people get caught up with design, thinking like they 100% have to hire outside help, especially when creating, let's say, menu boards. Or what has been popular over the years is chalk art. And so I wonder too, if this sort of project and paint, you could also use, again, you're projecting, but onto maybe a white wall, chalk wall, canvas wall, and being able to do it yourself, and what money you could save. I think too, just to bring us back to an earlier point of one of the rooms in Rose Mansion, you created this ombre wall of colors that ended up representing, was it different smells?
We did a couple things. We used stripes on walls to represent different smells, and then we used an ombre wall to represent the grapes going from purple and then being turned into the pink liquid that you see in your glass. So we did an ombre from a deep purple into a light rosé pink. And then we did a final ombre of in the blending lab, which kind of was an area where you got to make your own rosé and blend different kinds of pieces together. And so we created this like pink ombre smoke effect that kind of radiated from the ground up.
Mad scientist.
Yes.
Yeah. So, listener, as I was just saying, again, this second segment here on The Tidbit, we're always eager to share more resources and tips on how to grow your business, how to market your business. And I just want to bring up that, did you know one of the main events connecting the hospitality industry with food and beverage leaders is actually coming to the DC Convention Center on September 19th? I go every year. It's called Entree DC, and Rose Previtt of Compass Rose and Maidan. Also, if you didn't know, Maidan recently named Bon Appetit's number 2 restaurant in America. She'll be the keynote speaker. And not to mention, there are a variety of panels, one of which is based on the topic we're discussing today, marketing trends to enhance your brand, and sort of how to leverage social media and experience design to create that Instagram effect. So if you're eager to learn more tidbits of knowledge, I definitely recommend checking out this event. We always post about all of these resources in our show notes, but you can also register at entreedc.splashdat.com. And Kelly, I'm wondering, in the theme of sort of sharing these tidbits of knowledge, if our listener wants to learn more about experiential design, or DIY, do-it-yourself tips and tricks, do you have any resources that they can subscribe to, listen to, read? You know, where do you go for inspiration, maybe outside of these in-person events?
Yeah. My main source for inspiration is honestly Pinterest and Instagram. Pinterest is phenomenal. You can just type in any word and you get icons for scrolling for days of different kinds of pieces. You know, if you typed in like wall typography and or chalk art, you know, you could see different kinds of ways people use that and, you know, put it up on their wall. With Pinterest, you can also click an image that you like, and then Pinterest will drop down a whole new menu of images that look similar to that. So that's a really great way to like hone in on exactly what kind of design you're looking for. And who knows, Pinterest might be able to read your brain and have the perfect image just right below for you. And then Instagram, I mean, everyone uses Instagram, but, you know, using hashtags to search for different kinds of things is a great way to just like see other kinds of inspiration. Instagram also has a bookmark feature, so you can bookmark it and create different kinds of folders that you can go back to see inspiration. And then my last kind of source of inspiration actually came from watching Trading Spaces years ago.
Throwback.
Yeah, and they just brought back that series, and they're in their second season of the comeback of Trading Spaces. So that is just like a fun way to watch, you know, these artists use their DIY knowledge to update a room for, you know, $2,000. So they could have great tips for, you know, updating any type of like restaurant or retail space.
Amazing. So again, whether it's going to in-person events to learn or using the internet, the power of the internet, Pinterest and Instagram and all of the hashtag wormholes one could go down for inspiration, or just back to the basics of television to understand what different designers are doing for low budget sprucing up of spaces. Thank you, Kelly, for all of your knowledge. We hope that this conversation has inspired you to think outside of the box about your brand and how, in doing so, you can attract new customers through these memorable experiences. Be thoughtful, be intentional, and recognize what people are craving in their lives, which may just be a space for rest and relaxation during a time of chaos. And could you provide that solution? So if you have any topics that you'd like us to discuss around starting a small business with a food and beverage lens, let us know. Head over to curate.co, curate.co, and say hello. Until next time, remember to scale thoughtfully and source locally.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.